I want to draw your attention this morning to the fifth and sixth verse of Psalm number 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. I want to speak to you this morning on a very simple subject, namely the downcast soul. The downcast soul. While we are not directly or specifically told who penned Psalm 42, I take the very common view, it's the view of Matthew Henry, the view of John Calvin, that this psalm was written by David. And it was written describing his experience when he was persecuted and driven to banishment by King Saul. Therefore refers to the early part of David's life before he was king of Israel. Verse 1 speaks of him being hunted like the hart or the deer, as the hart panteth after the water brooks. And the picture he presents is of the deer or the hart being hunted on the mountains. And as it is pursued, it's thirsting for the water brooks. It's coming to the point of exhaustion. But when it comes to the water brooks, it refreshes itself from the streams, and then it goes on again to flee from the enemy. Just as the hart was hunted, so Saul at that time hunted David to the caves, the wilderness, the forest, seeking to kill him. The psalm speaks of David being wounded, being emotionally wounded in this psalm. In verse 3 he says, "My tears have been my meat day and night." It seemed to be that as regularly as you or I would eat a meal, David wept. His tears were his meat day and night. And when Saul banished him from the royal court and he had to flee for his life, we're told that in 1 Samuel 20, verse 41, that he wept with Jonathan till he had exceeded. He wept till he could weep no more. His tears were his meat day and night. Verse 3 also speaks about him being taunted by those that hated him. "Where is thy God?" And during his banishment, his enemies claimed that God was not with him. That if God was with him, he would not have come into these circumstances. And they mocked him and they taunted him. "Where is your God, seeing the circumstances that have befallen you?" We could go on to say that verse 7 speaks of him being overwhelmed. "All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." It seemed that as if he was drowning in trouble and oppression. Verse 9 speaks about him being oppressed and feeling abandoned. "I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me?" The Lord hadn't forgotten him, but David's circumstances made him to feel as if he was forgotten about. He says in verse 9, "Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" He felt abandoned. He was oppressed. He was overwhelmed. He was taunted. He was wounded. He was hunted. And I'm saying to you, all of those things he experienced when he fled from Saul, when Saul sought to persecute him. Yet in the midst of his experience, he seems to sum it all up in the words of verse 5 and 6. And if we could even narrow it down to just that little phrase where he asks himself the question, he's talking to himself, Wonder how often you do that. Sometimes I'm walking down the road and I see someone coming in the opposite direction and they sort of look at you a little oddly and you wonder, now, was I talking to myself there? Did they see my lips moving? Do they think that I'm a bit mad? But I know that we all do it, and I know that you do it as much as I would do it. But at times we talk to ourselves, we challenge ourselves. And the psalmist on this occasion is talking to himself. He's asking himself the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? He was cast down deep within his soul. That summarized his experience. And I want to set before you from verse 5 and 6, three truths about the downcast soul. I want you to notice, firstly, a solemn reality. A solemn reality. He asks the question, why art thou cast down, my soul? And then he asks another question, and why art thou disquieted within me? The reality was that he was discouraged. He was disquieted. He was distressed. Those events that I have set before you in my introductory remarks, they so overwhelmed him that it had an effect upon him. It took a toll upon him, upon his how he felt, his outlook in life, his innermost feelings had an effect upon him. And brethren and sisters, that is true of us. There are times when the circumstances in our lives, they affect how we feel, they affect our views of God, how our walk with God, our souls, and at times they can drag us down. You see the little phrase, cast down. The Hebrew word, it means to sink or to stoop down under a heavy burden. Solomon penned the words in Proverbs 12 and 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Heaviness, a burden in the heart of man. Maybe you're carrying a burden today and it's causing you to stoop. It's bringing you down. It's discouraging you. And you would say that you're cast down. Your spirits are downcast because there's a heaviness in your heart. That's how the psalmist felt. Do you see the word disquieted in verse 5? It comes from a Hebrew word that means to rage or to roar. And oftentimes it's used about the raging or the roaring sea. If you want one example of that, Jeremiah chapter 31 and the verse 35, you have that word. It's actually translated in our English Bible to roar. Verse 35 of Jeremiah 31, the prophet speaking about the sun and the moon and the stars, the Lord says, the Lord is speaking, and he gave the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of a moon, and of the stars by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Do you see the word roar? It's the same Hebrew word as the word disquieted. And it's describing the sea when it roars and it rages. And what does that speak of? It speaks of a lack of peace. Oh, when you look at the sea and it's a calm, it's just still and at peace. But when the waves rage and roar, the sea is troubled. And you can see the picture that David is painting here. He has his picture board out and he's painting a scene of his life. And such is the trouble in his life that he's cast down. He's under a cloud with a heavy burden and it's making him to stoop down. And he can't find any peace. Within his soul, he's troubled and he's raging. His soul is like the raging sea. Can I say to you this morning that it is not unusual for God's people to go through times of discouragement and disquiet, to be troubled, to be burdened down, and to have no inner peace. Elijah was downcast. When he felt he was standing alone for God, and he sat down under the juniper tree. Cleophas in the New Testament was downcast when his hopes for a national redemption didn't happen. And the Lord challenged him as to why he was sad. Mary and Martha were downcast when their brother was sick unto death in John 11. There are many things that cause us to be discouraged and downcast. But I want to highlight in particular what caused the psalmist to be so downcast in Psalm 42. And you'll notice it in verse 4. He said, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me." Why was his soul poured out? Why was he so discouraged? Why did he weep? Why was he troubled? He says, "For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day." When Saul banished him from the royal court, and he had to flee for his life, and he had to take to the forest, into the cave, and to the wilderness, the thing that he missed most was not the royal court, was not playing the harp before the king, was not the feasting in the royal palace, was not his comfortable surroundings in the home place, or the women singing, "David has slain his 10,000s. The thing that he missed most was that he was no longer able to attend the house of the Lord, not able to get to God's house. That was David's chief joy. He said in Psalm 27, is it verse 4? I'm going from memory. "One thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the sanctuary." The one thing he desired more than anything else. And in Psalm 42, when he was hunted like the partridge or the hart, the one thing that he missed more than anything else was to get to the house of the Lord. You'll notice it speaks, verse 4 speaks of his custom. "I went with them to the house of God." He went regularly. He went joyfully. There's not only his custom, but his praise, with the voice of joy and praise. That was the spirit he attended the house of the Lord. He didn't go with a spirit of criticism. He didn't come in with the desire to find fault in this, that, or the other. He came with the purpose of singing praise unto the Lord and benefiting from the public means of grace. You'll notice the company he came with a multitude. Multitude that were set on keeping the holy day of the Lord. That's what caused David's soul to be poured out. He cried out in verse 2, "When shall I come and appear before God?" Desiring once again to be back in the house of the Lord. And given that he couldn't be there, given that he wasn't able to attend, was one of the reasons, the chief reason, his soul was cast down. I know there are many of God's people and they're feeling just like David at this present time. I have spoken to numerous people, God's children, over the phone at this time, and they're saying, "We miss the house of God. The Sabbath day is not the same. We miss fellowshipping with God's people. We miss the Lord's table. We miss the congregational singing. We miss being in the house of God." And it discourages us. Can I pause for a moment and just ask, perhaps there are others listening in, And while some will say that's the worst part of this time of shutdown, let me challenge others. Is that what you feel the worst part of this shutdown that we are experiencing is? Or is it a case that you miss your place of employment? You miss your social life? You miss getting to the shops or the sporting events? And there's nothing wrong with those things that we do in life, but I'm challenging you. David, he was persecuted. He was banished from his place. He was living, as it were, like a fugitive. But the thing he missed most was the house of the Lord. And I'm asking you, is that what you miss most about this time? Can you say one thing I desire? It will be in the house of the Lord, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that keep holy day. Let me say, if you are downcast because you cannot get to the house of the Lord, I pose the question, what should you do? Well, that leads me to my second point this morning. There's not only a solemn reality, but there is a spiritual response. A spiritual response from the psalmist. Now, I'm jumping to verse 6. We'll come back to verse 5 before the end. But I want to jump to verse 6 to see the response. We ask the question, what should we do? Should we, like Elijah, lie down under the juniper tree and just request that our life is over and the Lord would take us to heaven, even though we would still have a work for us to do? No, we shouldn't do that. Should we, like Cleophas, should we leave as he left Jerusalem, seemingly abandoning the cause? So downcast was he in Luke 24. No, I put it to you that we should follow the example of the psalmist. Verse 6, he says, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee." There's two aspects in his response. There was his confession to God. Notice, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down." Notice the contrast between verse 5 and verse 6. In verse 5, David is speaking to himself. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" But in verse 6, he's now speaking to God. "Oh my God, my soul is cast down." This is a personal prayer. There was his confession to God. He's telling God exactly how he feels. He's telling God what he told and talked to himself in verse 5. "Oh my God, I am cast down." And I put it to you that the first thing we should do with our burden is to bring it to the Lord in prayer. Man can bar us from a building. Man can ban us from gathering together. Man can burden us with oppression, but they cannot stop our personal communion with the Lord. That's something the world can never rob from us. Should they cast us into a prison? Should they keep us in absolute darkness that we could not read and we could not see because we had no light? Yet they cannot take away our personal communion with God from the innermost depths of our being. That's why we should guard our personal time with the Lord. We should make it a habit that not only should we read the Word of God, but we should meditate upon the things of God and in the quiet, have that quiet time when we talk to the Lord and we unburden ourselves before Him. And we bring our burdens to the Lord. That's what the psalmist did. That's how he began in verse 6. He spoke to the Lord. The psalmist said in another place, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord. With my burden I begin," the hymn writer said, speaking about prayer, coming to the Lord, sharing our burden with Him, and laying our cares at the feet of Jesus. you'll notice that he says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down." My friend, tell the Lord how you feel, particularly when you are discouraged in spirit. Don't be afraid to confess it to the Lord. Jacob prayed in the book of Genesis, I believe it's chapter 32, when he was facing Esau, "I fear him." The Lord had told him not to fear, but Jacob did, and he confessed it to the Lord. Ezra chapter 9 and 10 told the Lord he was ashamed of the sin of his brethren. David told the Lord, "My soul is cast down." Oh, bring your burden to the Lord. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Guard your personal time with God. And in your discouragement, come before Him often and confess your condition to Him. There was not only his confession to God, you will notice there was his contemplation of God. Look at verse 6 again. "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, therefore will I remember thee." Because he was cast down, notice the word "therefore." Because his soul was cast down, he would remember the Lord. There's the remedy. Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? Then turn your eyes upon Jesus. Isn't that how the hymn goes? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Consider Him. Remember Him. Isn't that what the advice the Apostle Paul gave to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12? "Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Consider Him," he said, "lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And when you're downcast, when you're weary, when you're disquieted, the remedy is simple. Turn your mind and your heart to the Lord. "Therefore will I remember thee." He would recall in Psalm 42, the psalmist would recall the Lord, who He is and what He is to the believer. Can I just point out a couple of things to you? He would recall or remember that the Lord was his Savior. Do you see the end of verse 5? He would yet praise the Lord for the help of His countenance. If you have a margin in your Bible, you will see that the word "help" could be translated "salvation." "I will yet praise Him for the salvation of His countenance." He remembered the Lord was his Savior. And therefore, no matter what Saul did unto him, he could never rob David of his personal salvation through the promised Messiah. He also recalled and remembered that the Lord was his strength. Look at verse 9. He says, "I will say unto God, my rock." It's interesting to note the rocks that David came across when he fled from Saul. There was the rock of Azel. This is just coming to me as I preach now. There's a couple in there up there, and I just can't pull the name from my mind. But it's interesting to note the number of rocks that David came across when he had fled from Saul. And he says in this psalm, "God is my rock." The rock, there was safety, there was strength, there was refuge at times in those rocks that David found refuge in from Saul. And he's saying, "The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strength." He recalled that God was his Savior, that God was his strength, his rock, and that God was his satisfier, the one that satisfied his soul. Verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, and as I depicted a little earlier, as the hart or the deer would skip over the mountains, and eventually it would become weary and exhausted, it would drink from the refreshing streams, refresh itself, and go on its journey again. And that was just like David. He would drink from the streams of the Lord's fountain and salvation, and it satisfied his soul. My friend, are you satisfied at this time? It's a time of trouble. It's a time of uncertainty. It's a time maybe of hardship for many. It's a time of ill health for others. But is God the one who satisfies your soul? You'll find satisfaction in Him that the world cannot give. And when the things of the world, the broken cisterns, you find them empty, you'll find that the Lord will satisfy and refresh you with the streams of grace. And in your downcast time, remember Him. Remember that He's your Savior. Remember that He's your strong tower, and He'll give you strength from day to day. And remember that He will satisfy your soul when you drink from the streams of His grace. That's the remedy. That's the spiritual response to being downcast. No matter where you are or what condition you're in, God will always be those things to you. He'll always be your Savior. He'll always be your strength. Let me tell you, He's always able to satisfy you. There's a final thought this morning from our message. We have considered a solemn reality. The soul of the believer can be downcast. We've considered a spiritual response. But notice in closing the end of verse 5, a satisfying recognition. He says, hope thou in God. He's still speaking to himself. He's saying, look, why are you cast down? There's no need to be. Hope in God. Hope thou in God. It's personal. For I shall yet praise Him. I believe he's speaking about praising the Lord in the house of the Lord. Believe he envisages going again with the multitude that kept holy day with a voice of joy and praise. He would yet praise him in the house of the Lord for the help or the salvation of his countenance. David could declare in faith with sure and certain confidence they would praise the Lord once again, as he did in a bygone day in the house of the Lord. I believe the same will be true for each and every one of us. God willing, there's coming a day soon when we'll be back, and I'll not be preaching toward a camera, but I'll be preaching to people in the pews. Do you pray that the Lord, come that time, He'll give to us that spirit of joy and praise. Pray that there'll be a vast company, a multitude that will keep the Lord's day and come to the house of God and worship and praise the Lord. And that the center of our worship, like David, what did he say he would yet praise him for? The help or the salvation of his countenance. That will be the theme in Bethany. That will be the theme of our public worship once again. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus, as the great company in heaven gather around the throne and they sing salvation unto our Lord, unto Him who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, unto Him be the glory. That will be the theme. Redemption through the blood of the Lamb, with confidence and with faith. May we recognize that soon we'll be together again, praising and worshiping the Lord. But let me close with this thought, that God willing, we will soon be back again in Bethany, praise and worship the Lord. But there's a greater house of God. It's the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. David could look in another psalm beyond the house of God on earth to the house of God in heaven. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That was his life on earth. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's the heavenly house. The house of the Lord forever. He could see that one day his life would end, but he would enter into the house of God in heaven. And there, the Lamb would be central. And the sacrifice would be remembered and sung about. He would praise the Lord forever. Have you got that hope? A hope that is steadfast and sure that when this life on earth is over, you'll enter into the house of the Lord on high to sing the praise of Jesus, join with the company of the redeemed as they worship the Lamb eternally. May the Lord bless His word this morning to your heart. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Don't be cast down. Confess your circumstances to the Lord. Contemplate all the Lord is for you and have that confidence. Soon we'll praise the Lord together again. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts.